nourishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead for them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by the loving bark, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor pauper a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
All right, this morning, if you would, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, we'll begin reading in verse 1 for today's scripture reading. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true young fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. God bless the reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. And this time we're going to spend a few moments individually in prayer to this God of peace.
Thank you. this time we are going to have our offering. And before we pray for the offering, just a note, the Robertses are going to be leaving right after the morning service. And so if you want to give to them, just designate it, specially designate it for them. But we'll be having the regular offering at this time. So if you want to give to them, then just designate it. And that's how it's going to work for the offering today. And so we're going to go ahead and pray for the offering at this time, and then the men can come forward. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for another, just a blessing to be in church today. We thank you so much that you rescued us, Lord. We were perishing, and you were able to deliver us and rescue us from sin. I pray now, Lord, that as we give this offering just in worship and as part of our giving back to you what you've given to us, I pray that you would use it to further the work, further the ministry of the church here and around the world. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Rachel. As I know with many of you in this room, one of my favorite songs of the faith, It Is Well. All right, let's turn over to another one that's a favorite song of the faith, an old and familiar one, 247, The Old Rugged Cross. Someday for a cross, On the second verse, we'll sing the chorus a cappella. On the chorus a cappella, here we go. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross, for be true, its shame and reproach gladly this morning is page 401. 401, open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. If you're able to, again, we'll ask you to stand on this last song before the message. 401. You may be seated.
Josh will come and preach, but before we do that, the children can be dismissed to children's church, and so we'll give them a chance to sneak out. But again, Josh Roberts is our missionary to Wales with his family here today. Josh is Tim Roberts' older brother, and Tim actually has taught Josh a lot of things. Tim was always the more mature one and everything, so as you can imagine. But that is his older brother. Josh is from, his dad pastors Maquonigo Baptist Church, which is where I'm from, and Tim grew up, and you grew up. My dad grew up at Maquonigo Baptist Church, and so that's all our home churches back in Wisconsin. But it's great to have Josh here.
Thank you, Dale.
Thanks for preaching.
Well, it is good to be with you once again. As Taylor mentioned, we have a long family history, even though I think Taylor was, I didn't know Taylor much as a kid since he grew up in Kenya. I knew his uncles quite a bit. And so if you have any stories, Taylor can tell you a lot of stories about his uncles. But yeah, we had a good time with the Rangers growing up and everything. So we were, I think a little bit of Taylor was coming out last night for the Bronx and Hiles and everything. They saw a different side of Taylor, maybe. I don't know. But we were joking about all the crazy things we used to do on the farm. And I know you, I heard you laugh. Yeah, Tim was the more mature one. He was laughing about it. But we had a great time together. And so thankful that we could come down and report again. I know it's been 8 years since the last time. So if you weren't in Sunday school, maybe you can ask somebody else that was there and get a little bit of update. We'll try to answer any questions. We'll stick around for a bit afterwards, but we are driving the 650 miles this evening all the way back to Wisconsin and to spend some time with family after that and three more churches. But this morning, I would like you, we are going to be looking at Philippians 4 this morning. Philippians 4 this morning. And, you know, one of the world's greatest problems right now, or one of the biggest crises facing our world actually is mental health. And what is the answer to mental health? Well, before we get into the answer and some things for us to, I'm going to look at three truths about peace in uncertain times in a little bit. But I just want you to think about what this crisis is. Now, it might not be big for you, but believe it or not, the World Health Organization says that 1 billion people are living with mental health disorders, whether that's anxiety and depression, which are inflicting the largest mental tolls. It says that worldwide over $1 trillion are spent on this crisis in the world. You might say, well, what about our area? You know, thinking of Fort Scott, Kansas, I was doing a little bit of research last night about this. And this area, it's 1 in 4 adults are facing this issue, crisis. 1 in 5 adolescents. And Fort Scott is actually higher than the average in Kansas for these issues. And poverty is one of the greatest reasons. In the UK, mental crisis, health crisis is a huge thing as well. 1 in 5 adults in England are living with a common mental health problem, and rates are rising steadily. They estimate that almost £300 billion a year are spent on this crisis. And 4 in 5 people surveyed said that they feel anxious about major issues like war and conflict that are going on. In Wales, in 2024 through 2025, nearly 73 million prescriptions for antidepressants were given. 40% due to anxiety. And what are the causes? Some of these things are social issues are causing these things. It's a hot button issue across the world. And there's this culture of safetyism. Do you remember going through COVID? A lot of people afterwards or through that time, they would say, be safe. Be safe. And so there's this issue of safetyism. Social media. Some of you might have it. Some of you don't have it. Social media is a huge cause because friends, young people look at what are their friends thinking. And even as adults, we get concerned about what other people are thinking about this. In some ways, actually prolonged transitions to adulthood are causing mental health issues with young people. And so what does the Bible have anything to say about having peace in such a mentally uncertain time? You know, does the Bible have any answers for us? I would argue, yes, it does. And especially for believers, we have the answers in God's Word. And for all people, the answer ultimately is in God's Word. And so we're trying to reach people with the message of Jesus Christ, so that they can have true, lasting peace in such an uncertain time. You know, as we think about peace, you know, I'm not talking about this peace that they try to teach some children. You know, go and do your meditation and hold your fingers the right way and clear your mind. That's not the kind of peace we're talking about. We are talking about that true inner peace that you can have when you can have a calmness and have an assurance in the midst of difficulty. And you might say, Josh, why are you speaking? You know, you're a missionary. Aren't you supposed to preach on going out and giving out the gospel? Friends, this is giving out the gospel. But also for all of us as believers, those of you that are believers, I don't know if everyone's a believer here. But if you are a believer, you could face this crisis. You could go through something that's difficult. And you're going to know, have to learn how to have peace in that difficult time. So 3 important truths about peace in uncertain times. And we're talking about that peace, that internal and external sense of calm and serenity that only the Spirit of God can bring in our hearts and our lives. So as we look at this passage, I had Josh read all 9 verses. We're not going to focus on the first 3, but as we think of 3 important truths and we look at this passage, do notice, though, that right in the beginning and throughout this passage, it talks about being in the Lord throughout this passage, being in the Lord. And so you might say, well, if we get right into verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so if you want true peace, friend, first of all, you must be at peace with God. You must be at peace with God. You can have if you aren't a believer, and I'm not saying that no unbeliever can't experience some type of peace, but to have true lasting peace that will go on and on throughout everything, you first of all must be at peace with God. Because if we know, those of you who are believers, know that the Scripture says, if we aren't at peace with God, if we don't know Christ as our Savior, if we're not in the Lord, as Paul wrote to those believers, what does the Scripture say in John 3:36? John 3:36, you might have it memorized. I'm going to turn there just so I don't misquote it. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." If you aren't at peace with God, you have God's wrath abiding on you, and literally, you are at war with God. You are His enemy, and you are alienated from Him. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae in Colossians 1, verse 21. He writes about since they've come to faith. Notice it says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." So at one time you were alienated and you were enemies in your mind. You were at war with God. Can you really be at peace or have true peace if you are God's enemy? No, you can't have true lasting peace. And so, first of all, you must be at peace with God. And Romans, Paul wrote this to the believers, Romans 5:1, he talks about being justified. He says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Justified, declared righteous through Jesus Christ, and now they have peace with God. No longer are they enemies. And so enemies aren't at war. Verse 10 of Romans 5 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." So now, friends, if you have peace with God, if you have come to true saving faith, trusting in Christ alone for salvation, you are no longer at war with God, and you can have peace with God. And we're talking about, we want to lay that as the foundation, because you can't have the peace of God in your heart and life. You can't have the peace of God permeating every aspect of your life unless, first of all, you are at peace with God. So I ask you this morning, I don't know each one of your hearts and minds. I don't know your soul. Are you at peace with God? Have you come to personal saving faith in Jesus Christ? Some friends, some of the people that we've ministered recently, they came to us saying, "There's something wrong. There's a hole in my heart. I'm missing a puzzle piece. My life is empty." And then they heard the message of Jesus and they're like, "Now I feel whole." Why? Because now they're at peace with God. If you haven't yet put your faith in Christ, trust in Christ alone for salvation, come to personal faith in Him. Put your faith and have peace with God. You may think you have peace in your life without God, but if you are not at peace with God, friend, that peace is only temporary. It won't be eternal peace. And it won't be lasting in this life either. Because something will be happen, something that will be beyond your control, that will overwhelm you, and you won't have true peace in your life. So first of all, you must be at peace with God if you want to have peace and mental health in uncertain times. You have to know God personally through Jesus Christ. Secondly, maybe you are at peace with God, but your inward spirit aren't at peace. Well, secondly, you can have the peace of God in your inner being, your spirit, that immaterial part of you that you can't witness or you can't really touch and feel. Your spirit can have peace. Because notice what it says, and we're going to look at it, looking through the scripture, building up to it, that you can have peace with God. So we're going to work through Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 and following to start where, sorry, verse 4. We're going to get to that part where the scriptures promise you peace, because it says, verse 7, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Notice the steps that Paul lays forth. He says, first of all, I'm going to put it this way, you can have the peace of God in your heart by being glad in the Lord. Notice it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Be glad in the Lord. Why can you be glad in the Lord? Because the Lord has blessed you greatly. Rejoice in the Lord always, in every circumstances. Paul said it in the same way in the end of 1 Thessalonians. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5, he wrote to the believers there, rejoice evermore. In whatever circumstances you have, you can rejoice. Now, sometimes you say, how can I rejoice when bad things are happening? I remember going in seminary. And I was in seminary. I was carpooling with somebody. And we would drive down. I would drive down and meet these guys that were staying across from their church, park my vehicle, hop in their car, go to seminary. I came back one time. I said, guys, we have a problem. They're like, what? I said, you see where my van was parked right there? It's no longer there. The van was stolen while I was at seminary. And you're like, Lord, what are you trying? I'm trying to study the scriptures, get trained for you so I can go out and give out the gospel. That van was what I was going to take on deputation. Well, how can we have peace? Well, it's okay. God provided the very next day. Somebody said, Rachel went and gave a testimony. She was teaching at the time at the Christian school. Hey, can you pray for me? Our van got stolen. A lady said, came up to her and said, I have a sibling that wants to give away a car. Do you guys want it? Right there, provided for. Recently, on our way to this furlough, it was in April, after Rachel's dad passed away, we got the phone call. We rushed. I got all the plane tickets. We drove to the airport. On the way to the airport, my friend from church was driving us. I said, you know, I'm so thankful that God has given us 10 years in this vehicle. It's kind of paid for itself. We sit in, we got checked in, we went through security, we were sitting down, getting some lunch before we flew. I get a text message. Your van died on the way home, and I got rear-ended. And I'm like, what can I do? The engine had gone. You know, I'm sitting there with the kids eating a hamburger, and I'm like, oh man, this is... You know, I was like, wait, what am I doing? I can't do anything about it. Okay, just trust the Lord. I mean, think of all the blessings. We got to the airport. We weren't rear-ended with the kids in the car. I made our flights. It's beyond my control anyway, so, you know, let's just trust the Lord. And when you can have peace, you can even rejoice in that circumstance. You can look at the positive things that God did. And so I could trust in the Lord. Paul said, you want to have peace of God in your inner being? Be glad in the Lord, because the Lord has blessed you greatly. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if you don't get it, again I say, rejoice. In those difficult times, you can rejoice, because God's working in ways you don't see and you don't understand. The second thing, if you want inner peace, you want the true peace of God in your inner being, notice it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What is Paul trying to say? Your moderation. Really, your gentleness or your contentment. You could put it this way. Be content because of the Lord. Be content with what you have because of the Lord. The Lord is soon returning. The Lord is at hand. That's what it means. He could come back today. He could come back tomorrow. It could be another 1,000 years. But be content. Let your moderation be known, because you are living for eternity, not for this life. So when you keep that in mind, that the Lord is returning, it's okay. He puts it all in perspective. You want the peace of God? Be glad in the Lord. You want the peace of God, be content because of the Lord. You want the peace of God, be trusting the Lord. Verse 6 says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The aspect of be careful for nothing is that idea of don't be anxious. Don't be troubled with the cares of this world. What's the leading mental health problem? Anxiousness. Anxiety. And believers, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to feel anxiety or depression in your life. Notice it says, don't be anxious. That's the negative aspect. Don't worry. This same idea Jesus gave to the disciples. If you look back at Matthew 6:25, as Jesus was preaching to the disciples in the sermon there, he says in Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? That take thought is that same idea of don't be anxious. Don't take thought. You don't have to worry about what is to come. That's what Jesus, trust the Lord. Jesus then in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, as Martha and Mary were there, you might remember in Luke 10, Jesus had come and he was visiting, and Martha received him into her house. And she had the sister Mary. And what did Mary do? She was sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha was busy serving. And she was, it says in verse 40, Martha was cumbered about by much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Some of you that are servants, that's a great thing to be interested and be concerned for servants, but sometimes we can get so concerned about the serving that we forget about the big picture, that these are people. And Jesus, notice what he said. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. She was worried. She was anxious. And Jesus said, one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away. Basically, Jesus, Martha, you're worried and you're anxious about the wrong thing. So he says in Philippians 4, don't be anxious, but be trusting, because that's what he says. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we don't have to be anxious, we have to be trusting. How do we demonstrate that we're trusting God? We take it to him in prayer. How do we take it to him in prayer? Well, with we are earnest, we are seeking him in supplication, but notice we bring it with thanksgiving. We are joyful even in that midst of suffering. That doesn't mean we're laughing about it or all giddy, but we can be thankful. We can understand that God is at work. So Paul, he lays out, he says, you want peace? He tells them how they can have peace. They were to, first of all, be glad in the Lord. They were to be content in the Lord. They were to be trusting the Lord. And when they follow those things and they are obedient, verse 7, notice it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That internal sense of calm and serenity because God is in control, that will, notice it says, guard your hearts and minds. What is the problem with mental health? Our minds get tricked and deceived. Our hearts grow worrisome. They start to doubt the goodness of God. And so we have to battle that. We have to battle our minds. We're in a war for our minds. And so he says these things. When you are rejoicing, when you're glad in the Lord, when you're content, when you're trusting the Lord, that peace of God will guard, or they'll keep watch over your hearts and minds. That heart, the center of our own spiritual life. Remember, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When we're focusing and trusting God, though, it'll guard our heart from going astray. Notice that mind, the thoughts, those thoughts which can easily lead us astray. But when we're focusing on the truths of God's word, when we're glad in the Lord, when we're content in the Lord, when we're trusting the Lord, it'll guard our minds through Christ Jesus. And that's the key. It's all through Christ. It's not on our own. It's because we are thinking about Christ and everything that he's done for us. We're thinking of the truths of the Scripture, those things the Spirit will bring back to our hearts and our minds, those truths that will guard our hearts from becoming anxious and becoming discontent. Friends, you want to have peace in your life. You want to have the peace of God. You can have the peace of God, but you must follow what his word says. I love this. Paul writes to the believers at Colossae that this, we have to actively let this peace in our hearts and our minds, because it says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. That's Colossians 3:15. You have to actively participate, but trust in God and let him work in your hearts and minds. So you want, the second truth is, you can have the peace of God in your inner soul and being. And it's all through Jesus Christ. But the third truth is, you must be spiritually obedient to experience the God of peace in your heart and life. And I think that's right there in the Scripture. Because notice, a lot of times we hear this and we focus on those four verses, but notice what verse 8 says and following. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So you must be spiritually obedient to experience the God of peace. First of all, how can we be spiritually obedient? Grab hold of righteousness. Grab hold of righteousness. Meditate on righteousness. Paul says in verse 8, he lays out this list of righteous characteristics that we are to meditate on, or really that word meditate or think on these things is that thing of grab hold of these truths. So it says, whatsoever things are true, that which conforms or confirms the gospel, the truth of God's word. Think on that. Think on the truth. Think on whatsoever things are honest or noble, these honorable or things or worthy of respect. Taylor's probably heard it in seminary class. We're not usually told to use things. But here Paul says, these things. Use these things. And what are these things? These characteristics of righteousness, the true things, the noble things, or the honest things, the just things, that which is just or right, that which reflects God's character. You know, the Philippians were living in a wicked day. They were living in a wicked world. We think we live in a wicked time, and we do. It's getting worse and worse. But many of those early believers, friends, you wouldn't want to raise your family in those environments. There was idolatry. There was open sexual immorality. There was perverseness all around. And Paul is saying, think on these things that are true, right, honest, just. Grab hold of those things in society. And there are still, because people are created in God's image, they can in some way reflect his goodness. So don't grab hold of the evil in life. Think of the good things that reflect God's character. Think of and grab hold of, meditate on the truth, the those things that are honest, those things that are just, those things that are pure, those things that are not tainted by the evil of this world. We all can fall prey to that, can't we? You know, one thing I do enjoy about driving in the UK is we don't have to see too many billboards. Did you know there's evil all around us? You go on the highway and you're like, you know, look down. You go anywhere. No, some parts of Europe, it's worse. The bus stations, it can be bad. But whether it's looking all around, but you can't go in certain parts of the grocery store or the gas station. You can't do certain things. So think on that which is pure. Don't grab hold of that which is evil. And then he goes on, whatsoever things are lovely, those things that are kind, gracious, or pleasing within the bounds of holiness. Meditate on those things. Grab a hold of those things. He keeps going, whatsoever things are of good report, those things that are highly regarded or well thought of, think of those things. And if he leaves any out, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think, meditate, dwell on these things. If you dwell on the evil, if you dwell on the wars, if you dwell on the problems, if you dwell on the poverty, if you dwell in all the bad things that are happening in your life, friends, you will be anxious. You will be depressed. But if you dwell on the good of Scripture, if you dwell on what is right and lovely and just, and focus on God and His Word, notice, and you are actively implementing it in your life, which is the next point, you can have peace. Because notice verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So you begin to implement even the righteous, the good things, the honorable things. You live according to how you have been taught. Pastor Heffernan is faithful in teaching God's Word. So put it into practice. If you're not putting into practice what the Scripture says, you're going to have a miserable life if you're a believer. I'm sorry. But if you want to have a peace-fulfilled life, if you want to have peace in your heart, and if you want to have peace in your life, he says, do it. Notice the things that you've received. All of those truths that Paul has already taught them. The things exemplified in Paul's life. If you look at through the book of Philippians, you could see the things that are exemplified in Paul's life, like the truthful preaching of the gospel. Like the Paul was willing to suffer for Christ. He could suffer and still be thankful. He exemplified giving all for Christ. He exemplified not thinking that he had arrived. He exemplified pressing on for Christ. Paul is saying, the things that you've seen in me, the things that I've exemplified in my life, the truths that you've seen me preach and live out, you do those. And he then says, active obedience, I'm going to put it this way, active obedience to the Christ-like life guarantees the God of peace to be present in your life. Because notice what he says. All these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace might be with you? No. And the God of peace shall be with you. He will be in your life. He will be evident in your home. He will be evident in your relationship with others. I mean, obviously, there's been some turmoil in the church at Philippi, because he's beseeching Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind. There's been some disagreements in the church. There's been some not peace there. And so he says, hey, put into practice what you've seen, what you've heard. Your hearts and minds will be guarded. You'll have the peace of God in your heart and your mind. And if you live out the truths of the scripture, the God of peace will be present in your life. You will have a peace-filled life. As we sang this, you heard Rachel play, "It is well with my soul." How can you have your soul at peace when you're trusting Him and you're living for Him? Some other scriptures that remind us of these great truths. I think of Isaiah 26 and verse 3, I believe it is. Notice what the Isaiah wrote. He says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Aren't those some of the same truths that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi? Rejoice in the Lord. Be content with what you have. Don't be anxious, but be trusting. fix your mind on what is right. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And then Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Notice what he wrote here in this passage as well. He says this, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace." So as you're of one mind, as you're living out the truths of the Scripture, living in peace, the God of love and peace shall be with you. You want to have a peace-filled life, be actively obedient to God's Word, living out the truths of the Scripture. When we live like that, disunity will go away. We will be unified in the Lord. Guess what else will happen? The fruit of the Spirit will be evident. You want to show that you are a genuine believer? You look at your life. Is it a life filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Those are the fruit of the Spirit. And when you actively obey and trust God and live it out, those things will be evident. As we bring it to a close, friends, all around us there are people that aren't at peace. They have mental health problems. Sometimes there are genuine physical needs that need to be taken care of, but more often than not, it's because there is sin in lives and they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You want to help those around you? Give them the message of Jesus Christ, how they can be at peace with God. That's first and foremost. Lead them to true saving faith. You want peace in your life? Remember that you can have the peace of God guarding your heart and mind. But how do we do that? We rejoice in the Lord always. We are content in the Lord. We are trusting the Lord. We're taking our needs and requests to Him. And the promises, the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Dwell on that which is true. You must be spiritually obedient to experience the God of peace. You have to grab hold and dwell on that which is good and righteous. And you have to put it into practice. And the God of peace will be evident in your life. Friends, we look at what's going on in this world today. It looks scary. It looks bad. And things are going to get bad and worse. But you know what? We don't have to be overcome by it. We don't have to be in distress or depression. We don't have to be afraid because God's in control. And when we trust Him, He'll keep us. The peace of God will be in our hearts and minds. The peace, the God of peace will be with you. So you want true peace? Be at peace with God. You want true inner peace, the peace of God? Be joyful, be content, be trusting. You want a peace-filled life that only the presence of God can bring? Be actively obedient to the righteous life of the Scriptures. Be dwelling on that which is good and right. Let's bow and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You can help us to have peace in uncertain times. Lord, I don't know. Maybe there's one person here today that doesn't yet know Jesus Christ. They're not at peace with You. Lord, we pray that You would help them turn from their sin and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Lord, maybe there's one believer here today that's struggling with trusting You. May they think of the truths that we've heard today, the truths of Your Word, of being glad, of being trusting, being content. May they focus on the truths of the Scripture so that they can have Your peace in their heart and Your peace in their life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Here today, and you are not at peace with God, you've not trusted Christ to forgive you of your sins, speak to somebody, ask somebody how you can have peace with God, and we'd be more than happy to share that with you. And if you're a believer here today, there's so many things to be anxious about. Even just the other day, I was out on a walk and just thinking about all the different things that, you know, are coming up in my future. And just, you know, it's easy to get anxious and to just feel that well up in your spirit. And like you said, there's so many people here in Fort Scott that really struggle with having peace. And they're just battling depression and anxiety. It's because they don't know Jesus Christ. And they haven't fixed their mind on Him, even as a believer. And so that was a great message. That'd be a good one to go back and re-listen to in the middle of the week and just remind yourselves of those truths. And so if the Lord's spoken to your heart, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. So if God's done something in your heart, take a moment, pray about it. If there's something that you're worried about or burdened for, really take this time to pray about it. And again, if you don't know the Lord, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, speak to somebody how you can have peace with God.
I'm sure that Josh and Pastor picks the songs, but I'm sure they probably discuss the message. But this song is highly appropriate for the message today. And so let's all stand and turn to page 387 and sing, I Will Follow.